mentored by Mike and is carrying on as Mike would have wanted, every Sunday at 9, sharing her real estate knowledge, tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Allison and her guest experts. And now, her glass is always half full. Here's Allison Norman.
I'll be home. Good morning. It is almost Christmas. This is Allison Norman. Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman in studio today with David Guen, Assistant City Manager of Santa Rosa. You know, I grew up in Terra Linda, so San Rafael, and I catch myself saying, tripping over the two. Santa Rosa, not San Rafael. But I've lived in Santa Rosa for, 30 plus years. So we are going to be chatting about a lot of city, what's going on in the city of Santa Rosa, a lot of kind of hot topics. But before that, Joe, what we had some exciting sports news, local.
Yeah, the two state basketball or football teams, get my sports mixed up here. They had their state championship games last night, and they went 1-1. Cardinal Newman, the first area team to win a state championship, they defeated El Camino 31-14, so congratulations to
awesome.
Cardinal Newman.
Yay.
And Rancho Cotati, they were ahead 14-0 in the second quarter. They like to replay that third quarter. Bakersfield Christian scored 4 third quarter touchdowns.
Wow.
And they defeated Rancho Cotati 42-21. That was their first ever state championship game. Congratulations to them on a super season.
Great. Congratulations to both of the teams for getting
exactly.
that far. That's
yes,
amazing. That's awesome.
It's not supposed to be football season in high school this time of year, but they made it work. So
there
congratulations to both teams.
Awesome. Thank you for that update. And so just to remind everybody, we are trying to get back into Facebook Live. I know Mike and I used to do that a lot, and I've done a little since we came back with the show. But we are Facebook Live today. So if you go to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on Facebook, you can catch us live. You can see us talking and not just listen to us. And another thing, I think because we're going to be touching on some pretty hot topics here in Santa Rosa, we're gonna hold the phones today. We're not going to take any calls because I really want to get through everything that we want to talk about. If you go to Facebook Live, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on Facebook, and you have a burning question,
I do see you guys there.
If you have a burning question, go ahead and put it on Facebook Live, and if it's something that we can cover, we will. I just don't want to get bogged down in phone calls, and I want to give David Guen an opportunity to kind of really fully discuss what we want to discuss today. So hope that's okay with everyone. Quick update on, mortgage rates still super low. Where we start the show again with, Home for Christmas, and although it's what is it, like 10 days? What is today? 10 days away.
Week and a half away.
If you celebrate Christmas. And then Hanukkah, I think, is starting in a week or so, too. It's pretty close. You can't get into a home by Christmas now, but maybe you're still in the process, And if you're in escrow, I hope you can get that wrapped up by the end of the year or by Christmas. That would be great, and be in your new home. And I know a lot of people in the rebuild. We're going to talk, David, about some rebuild updates. Coffee Park and Fountain Grove is what City of Santa Rosa covers, and then Larkfield and Mark West are over in county, although equally affected. But a lot of people I'm seeing on Facebook, I don't know, David, are you seeing or hearing? I know you're at a different level of seeing it, but people moving back in to their homes.
We're seeing quite a bit. It's
really
it's happening
exciting.
A lot. Yeah. Couple of days.
Good. Well, we're going to talk about that too when we get into it. But just real quickly, mortgage interest rates still real low. 30-year fixed rate, under 4%. They're actually all under 4%. 3.5%, 3.25%, 3.75%. And again, as I tell you all the time, this isn't, every single person that goes in to get a loan is not going to get that exact rate. It depends on your specific circumstances, how much of a risk you are, your credit score, how much money you're putting down, lots of variables. But that's just kind of the base, idea of interest rates are under 4%. So great time to go out and buy a house. And there are still plenty of properties on the market. Single family homes in Sonoma County, there are 743. That's pretty similar to what it was last week. Condos, there are 73. These are all active across the board, across the price point, available. You could put an offer on this property today. So that's what we're talking about. And the reason I watch that is just kind of keep an eye on what's happening in the market. You know, back in the summer, we had over 1,000 homes on the market. So it's down a little, but that's pretty typical for this time of year. Multi-unit, 2 to 4 units, there are 33 on the market. Mobile homes, 93. These are all really similar to what we've been seeing the last couple of weeks. Lots and land, residential, I've been keeping an eye on those because there really is a concern. David, you'd agree. I think that there's a concern that a bunch of lots are going to come and kind of flood the market. So we've been watching that. And so far, it's been holding pretty steady. 322 residential lots. 163 of those are in the 0304 zip codes, which are the affected areas. And these are just residential, not, you know, ag lots and commercial lots or anything, just residential. And then homes for sale in the 03 and 04, which again is Coffee Park, Larkfield, Fountain Grove, Fountain Grove, there's 49 new homes. So anything built after 2019. And I think, was there anything approved before, I mean, like final before 2019? In 2018, was anybody done building? I think there might have been.
I think that we had one person that was, early
like
on.
Yeah, right at the end.
Yeah, most of them came in the 19.
Yeah, so so that's what I looked at. But so there's 49 new homes on the market. And I've talked about that before. I know there's a lot of new homes coming up in, you know, really kind of high-end homes, the million-plus price range coming up in kind of the Parker Hill, Fountain Grove area, that really given the used, you know, the resale homes a real run for their money, and making it a little tough. I have a listing on Mossimo Circle, which will be open today, by the way, 165 Mossimo Circle, but we started out in that million plus price point. We're down to 995 now. And it's really, our competition is the new homes over there because they're, you know, brand spanking new, coming in at, you know, close to the same price. So this is in an established neighborhood. It's, you know, 2,900 square feet, 3 bedrooms, 3.5 baths. It has a bathroom in each bedroom, which is a kind of a unique feature. And it has a 3-car garage. One of them you can drive all the way through out the other end and you know, be on your way out instead of going up and around Mossimo Circle, which is a one-way street. So they kind of put a lot of thought into it. It's the original owner selling this home. And it has been a rental for the past 5 years. She's really ready to move on. She's going to, you know, be moving closer to family. And just, you know, ready to sell this lifetime home that her and her husband built back in 1982. So I'd love to have some, you know, come on by, take a look at it. It really is a unique home and has a lot of great features. It's listed at $995 and will be open today from 1 to 4. So all of that out of the way, we are going to, let's take a little break. When we come back, we're going to dive in with David Ewan, Assistant City Manager of City of Santa Rosa. And a lot of interesting, we're going to talk about the Energy Reach, All Electric Reach program it's called, correct?
Yep.
Yes. And then we'll touch on a few new laws passed, the anti-gouging and what's happening with that, and some other hot topics. So we'll be back. This is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. And we have David Ewan, Assistant City Manager of City of Santa Rosa, waiting in the wings. We'll be chatting with him as soon as we come back. Be right back.
Probably my favorite Sinatra song ever. Tony Bennett tells a great story about that song. And the story goes that Sinatra walked in, did one take, turned around and said, "Okay, that's it. I'm out of here." Walked by Tony Bennett and said, "What do you think, kid?"
Live and local, Steve Jackson on The Drive. Afternoons on KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, new construction to rebuilds, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams Realty fits the bill.
My philosophy is twofold. One, my clients come first.
too. I strive to stay ahead of the curve with technology training and local market news and information. I grew up in Marin County, then moved to Sonoma County and raised my four children. When I started my career in 2006, I was fortunate to be mentored by my late friend, Mike Kelly. I've successfully helped hundreds of families in the entire North Bay with their real estate needs. And with my Keller Williams network across the country, I can help with relocations as well.
And now, Allison continues the tradition and hosts the Mike Kelly Real Estate Hour every Sunday morning from 9 to 10.
Call me at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Penn Grove hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman here every Sunday morning on KSRO. And covering, you know, all kinds of real estate related topics, you know, from how to buy a home to the process and getting your house ready to sell. And what I, you know, always think is a really big part of real estate in any county, any community, is the health of the community. So we talk a lot about, you know, what's happening in the community, not directly real estate related, but I really think it affects it. So we have David Guin, who is a longtime guest. You've been on, what, I don't know, 10 times, yeah. 5 or 6 at least. Assistant City Managers of the City of Santa Rosa, and he wears a lot of hats, and he's here to talk about a few of them. So welcome, David.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming in again. It's always good to get an update about what's happening in the city. And, you know, we're within Sonoma County, but you cover specifically Santa Rosa, but you have a little bit of information sometimes on, or most of the time, I'd say, on what's happening in the county as well. But the first thing I want to talk about is the all-electric REACH program, which was mm-hmm. passed.
It was.
And there's a lot of confusion, I think, about what exactly it is and what it means. So can you cover that and then maybe also compare it to the state and how the two of them fit together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I'll start there with the state because basically what happens is every 3 years, cities have to update their building code. Mm-hmm. And they update it based on what the state does. So the state does a massive update of their building code every 3 years, and local agencies adopt that.
Okay.
So this year, it's called the 2019 building code, although it's going into effect January 1st, 2020.
Okay.
So people a lot of times call it the 2020 code, but it's really the, technically the 2019 code. But what that includes is every part of building, from the standards to building codes, to electrical codes, mechanical codes, plumbing mm-hmm. codes, everything you can imagine as part of a construction is in this building code. It's multiple volumes. One of those volumes is the electric code, and that's where the energy code, and that's where it specifies how buildings are built and what they need to do to achieve energy efficiency in their building. And so what the state did this year is took a pretty big leap, and they added a few things to the energy code, and I'll go through a couple of them, that everyone in the state of California has to do, regardless. Every city, every jurisdiction, starting January 1st, this is you don't get a choice to do this.
Can we just clarify? So this is new builds, though,
new
right?
Builds,
this
new
isn't
builds
like
only.
Everybody panic and we have to go do all this
exactly.
to our homes.
Right? Yeah.
Now, does it affect remodels?
It doesn't. No, so new builds.
So new builds specifically.
Yeah,
Okay.
So certain things, when you do a certain remodel over a certain size and value, mm-hmm. certain elements kick in to try to, but those are... That's all we have to dive into that.
That's a different
topic.
But
in general, so if you think about it from a new code standpoint, things such as lighting efficiencies. So basically, no incandescent lighting is going to be allowed in new builds.
Okay.
The 2x6 wall framings. So basically, they're going to have a thicker
a wire,
wall, which
okay.
will allow for higher insulation efficiency.
So standard is 2x4
right
now. Okay.
Efficient doors will be addressed. Efficiencies of doors. So typically in the past, you've always heard about windows being more efficient, but now they're moving to doors as an issue.
Okay.
And then the big one is that PV photovoltaics are going to be required on all new homes.
Okay, which is solar.
Solar, yeah.
So that, otherwise known as solar.
And so that's the big one. And so that means that every new house built in California will have solar on their
home.
Okay,
so not just solar ready, but actually solar.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a big step. So So the state issues that, the local jurisdictions have to accept that local code, which we just did this past meeting.
Okay.
So what the cities can do from that point on is say, we want to go further. Mm-hmm. The base code is standard, and if you want to go further, you have to do three things. You have to show that it's not adding undue cost to the homeowner by changing the code or going further. There has to be a study done to prove that, and then the state has to approve your work to make sure that it's viable.
Okay.
So what we did for the REACH code, and this started back at our Climate Action Subcommittee, is to say that part of our goal as a city is to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, and we're doing that in multiple ways, through transportation, through building efficiencies, mm-hmm. and through waste. We have efforts underway on all those. On the building footprint, we decided to look at the REACH code, and the reason a lot of cities are looking at going to a REACH code, which means going further than the solar panels, so going beyond that, is that now the state has produced a study, and it's statewide, that allows cities to, it basically shows that by removing four appliances in your home, and removing gas appliances and replacing them with electric appliances, mm-hmm. It's cost effective, and it actually saves the homeowner cost in construction of that. Okay. And that hasn't been the case before, and the only reason that's possible is because solar is required. So now that solar is required, removal of those four gas appliances and converting them to electric is more cost effective.
Right.
And so that study's been put out there, and a lot of cities are looking at that, and that's why you're seeing a lot of cities starting to look at moving to a REACH code mm-hmm. that haven't done this in the past, because we haven't had that ability to do that.
Right. So what are the four appliances?
So four appliances, heating and cooling,
mm-hmm.
Water, and your the range, so for cooking.
Okay.
And then your...
So like no gas range, and that's right. The biggest controversy is, why do you mean no gas range? So
yeah, heating, cooling, water, and then your dryer is typically the last one. And so the way that the cost effectiveness study works is that it shows that by changing those appliances from electric to gas, there's a minimal, there isn't much cost difference between those. Mm-hmm. But the real cost savings comes when you don't have to put in the gas pipeline and the gas meter
from the
street to the house. So you're removing that infrastructure, and that cost savings mm-hmm. then translates into a cost savings for the construction of the home. And that's how the basis for this is shown to work.
Yeah, and what, like I said, what's been really controversial about this is the gas, the removal of gas. People like their gas appliances. Mm-hmm. I've never really understood a gas dryer. So, I mean, mine's electric. I don't know, but it seems a little weird. But if that's what you're used to and that's what you like, don't take my gas away. But the gas fireplace mm-hmm. is a big thing. And especially because we can't really burn wood now in our fireplaces because of all the spare the air days. It is a real controversy. So now it's an electric fireplace there's the induction, is that
induction is for cooking, so there's induction cooking, which is an interesting technology. If people haven't tried it, there's a lot of test plates that I think someone Clean Power offers a test plate you can borrow to test it out. But it basically, what it does is no flame, there's no heat generated.
Mm-hmm. But it cooks it similar to
it basically moves the it connects with the electrons in the material in the pot. And then the heat generated by that conductivity heats the food, so there's no heat radiating off of the stove itself. So we're actually starting to see a lot of those being put in even before this with rentals and senior homes, where it's a very safe technology from a standpoint of it. There's no flame, it doesn't stay hot. So even the old electric stoves, a lot of people think of electric stove as the old coil where it heats up and cools down, heats
or
up,
even
cools
though
down.
I have the glass top, and it stays hot for a long time.
So. Yeah, I like to equate those to the kind of the Palm Pilot of the iPhone, right? So the induction phone is, technologies has changed quite a bit. So that's kind of the old school way of doing electric cooking. Mm-hmm. Induction's has been around for quite some time, but it's definitely a completely different experience. And so that's what would be people are moving to on a lot of the new homes, is induction cooking. And then fireplaces, we have heard that a lot. We have talked to some new builders. One of the builders that's doing most of the building in Santa Rosa right now, they're looking at a technology that's kind of an ethanol flame that mm-hmm. doesn't produce any emissions. So that's a way that they're looking at for some of these high-end homes, of having ethanol fireplaces that put off heat with no emissions.
Right,
so there's different ways to do it.
Okay.
So it's interesting to see that the evolution and the how people are coming up with new ideas to try to.
Yeah, and I think we have to, but I think also when people hear no gas, and that's the immediate thought is that, well, you know, the alternative is, you know, the old funky, you know, electric, right. Which I have, by the way, but I don't know. That's what I have. Mm-hmm. I haven't ever switched over to gas, but I know as a realtor that is a big mm-hmm. item for people. Mm-hmm. I just sold a house where, you know, the first thing they did was to make sure that they could get a gas line over to their stove mm-hmm. and their fireplace so that they could have, you know, make that into gas.
And I think you bring up a good point. So I want to just be clear. This doesn't, you mentioned it earlier, but mm-hmm. this does not affect existing homes. So any existing homes can stay as they are. Remodels, it doesn't affect remodels. So again, okay. It's just new homes.
And I think you mentioned the fire rebuild, mm-hmm. are they excluded?
Yeah, fire rebuild is exempt because the governor put a law into place that is excluding them from having to put solar panels on their homes during the rebuild.
Okay.
So because of that, we can't complete the nexus to show that the nexus, it makes cost effectiveness work.
Right. So. Okay. So this, anybody that's rebuilding a home and listening to this,
you're exempt from that.
Mm-hmm. Although some of these appliances sound, you know, nice, and you may want to consider it anyway. But that's kind of brought up another topic of discussion about, you know, how is this kind of fair to the builders that are having to put, and specifically that it's Santa Rosa. How does that, you know, so are people going to go now up to, you know, down to Rona Park? Or you said Windsor passed a similar.
Windsor did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, which is an all electric.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not just Santa Rosa, but, you know, is it going to affect home sales and home prices in those homes where they're limited to that? And I don't know.
It's interesting. We did have one speaker speak at the hearing, City Ventures, the CEO of City Ventures came in. They're mm-hmm. building more homes in Santa Rosa than new homes than any other builder
that
we have. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing this for, they said, about 8-9 years, doing all electric homes.
Okay.
And they found that the resale, the demand, it's a big market, and it's something that they have a big demand for. So they're building quite a few of them. They're building right now currently about 200 townhomes up on Round Barn. They're going to be all electric, and they're putting in Tesla battery walls.
Okay, yeah, I know. I've seen that. It's by our Keller Williams office there.
Yeah, okay. And so those will have batteries. So a lot of the new homes, they'll have battery pack, solar, and then the all electric. And essentially what that becomes is more resilient with power shutoff. So when the power goes off, there'll be storage on site, and so they'll be able to run without having the need for PG&E at that point. So there's an interesting shift in terms of how people are looking at their home to be more resilient from a standpoint of the shutoff, but also in an emergency when gas gets shut off or power gets shut mm-hmm. off. You know, like Windsor and Healdsburg, when the gas got shut off, it took some time for that to come back on. So,
looking
at what that means for how to keep this your operation running, your city running, and your individual home needs.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think you're right that it is kind of becoming a more, you know, this newer generation, I mm-hmm. think, you know, is more used to or wanting this ecological, mm-hmm. you know, save the earth, you know, global mm-hmm. warming and all of that, and not to get, you know, controversial, but I think there's a lot of people more accepting of that.
Yeah.
And that question was, I was on with George Adair on mm-hmm. the Loan Show, and we touched on it a little bit about that, and he asked me what I thought about home resale value, and I think there's a mix. I think it's mm-hmm. yet to be seen, but I think there are a lot of people that will appreciate it. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be angry about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't please everybody. So it'll be interesting to see. And like I said, it's not just City of Santa Rosa. Currently, you know, that's what we're talking about. But it's also Windsor has passed something. And I know in California, there's a lot of other counties.
Yeah, there's a bunch of others, Berkeley and Mountain View and others.
That are looking mm-hmm. at this. So mm-hmm. it's state says you have to put solar in a new home. And then City of Santa Rosa went a little bit further and said no gas at all to the home.
Correct.
And solar. Anyway, David Ewan, Assistant City Manager, Santa Rosa, and Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We'll be right back after the news. Stay tuned for more.
I'll be home for Christmas.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
The FBI has tweeted in the past hour that it's completed over 500 interviews with help from other police agencies into the mass shooting last week at Florida's Pensacola Naval Air Station. At a church in Jersey City, New Jersey today, talking about the deadly shooting last week, now being investigated as domestic terrorism, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy.
Let us come together, regardless of how we worship, regardless of our race, ethnicity, who we believe in, who we love. Let us come together in brotherhood and sisterhood. Let us come together in common purpose and community.
Four people were killed, one police officer and three people in a kosher supermarket. The two suspected shooters, a man and a woman, died in an hours-long gun battle with police. The full House of Representatives is set to debate the articles of impeachment this week with a vote as early as Wednesday. Total deaths in the vaping illness outbreak has topped 50, say federal health officials. 52 deaths, 26 states. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
KSRO, on air, online, and now available on all leading smart speakers, including Google Home. Just say, okay, Google, play KSRO. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO. Around the county, around the country. We're everywhere you are.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, new construction to rebuilds, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams Realty fits the bill.
My philosophy is twofold. One, my clients come first. Two, I strive to stay ahead of the curve with technology training and local market news and information. I grew up in Marin County, then moved to Sonoma County and raised my four children. When I started my career in 2006, I was fortunate to be mentored by my late friend, Mike Kelly. I've successfully helped hundreds of families in the entire North Bay with their real estate needs. And with my Keller Williams network across the country, I can help with relocations as well.
And now, Allison continues the tradition and hosts the Mike Kelly Real Estate Hour every Sunday morning from 9 to 10.
Call me at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Expect to see the rain return by the middle of the week. Today, mostly blue skies at 56, 54 along the coast. Partly cloudy tonight, low 36, 40 on the shores. Few clouds for Monday at 58 degrees, 56 in Bodega Bay. Tuesday, cloudy with possible afternoon showers, high of 54. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. I am Allison Norman. And that music, you may be wondering, that's not the Real Estate Hour music, but that is our I'll Be Home for Christmas music. And, you know, my daughter reminded me, I think she's listening, that that we haven't talked about the Christmas Story, which Mike's favorite movie, and we...
I was wondering if we were going to do that.
We may. Maybe we'll do some trivia. Wait, what? Classic. Okay.
Yeah. My Christmas Story is It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. That's a good one, too. But, you know, Christmas Story is just, it's a fun, you know, classic, kind of cult classic, I think. Yeah. Are you a fan?
Oh, yeah. It was like the kid getting his tongue stuck on the pole.
All of that, yes. Yeah, and they're all wrapped up, bundled up in his in a snowsuit. Anyway, so we will, before Christmas, we'll talk some, well, maybe we'll do some trivia next week. But right now we're talking about more important stuff. And I have with me David Guin, who's the Assistant City Manager, City Santa Rosa, always willing to come in and talk when there's important stuff going on in Santa Rosa. I appreciate that. So welcome back.
Thank you.
We were talking about the electric, all-electric Reach. If you have specific additional questions about that, I don't know. Is there a way to reach you? I didn't think that through before I said it. We don't want to flood you with calls.
Oh,
but you
fine.
Have a
yeah.
public
we have a,
phone,
yeah, we have,
phone
we have,
number.
Yeah, we also have a webpage, srcity.org. /all-electric.
Okay.
If you go to that webpage, all the information about the process, how we got to where we got to, the staff reports, the presentations, bunch of information's on there. And then if anything, you could always reach out to me. My contact's on that webpage as well.
So okay.
You can shoot me an email or give me a call and we'll try to get back to you.
Great. And I know you've got a lot of stuff going on, but you're always really good about getting back. So appreciate that.
Sure.
That is a good website. I was doing a little research on my own and got a lot of good information and understanding of what exactly it is. And I think we are quick to the initial thought is no gas and everybody freaks out, but look further into it. It's new builds only.
Mm-hmm.
And it excludes the fire rebuild.
Correct.
So, and those are the big concern is all the fire rebuild and the people kind of panic about the additional costs that they think this is going to be. And so they're exempt for that.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. It's important. Yeah.
It is important. And from the state. And it's not just City of Santa Rosa. It's the state new building code and the solar only. But I think it's a good direction we're going in. I think, anything that you put that's a burden on real estate sales initially, I think is tough. But I don't know if it's so much of a burden once we get into it.
Yeah,
I think it's a good thing. Anyway, we're going to move on from that. But if you have additional questions, go to that srcity.org /all-electric. You can find David's information there and a lot of good information and dive into that some more. And then if you're in the county and not City of Santa Rosa, Permit Sonoma has mm-hmm. good information on that as well. Look into it. And obviously, if you're building, and it's mostly the builders that are affected by this. And, then ultimately the buyers of the homes that are going to be affected. But I think it's good information. But we're going to move on from there because we want to talk about what's going on in Coffee Park, Fountain Grove, all the home rebuild areas, specific to Santa Rosa is what you have, because a lot of people aren't aware. Larkfield, Mark West is not City of Santa Rosa.
Correct.
It is Santa Rosa. When you write a letter and send it to them, you put Santa Rosa, California, but and it's 95403, but it's not under the city jurisdiction.
That's correct.
Correct. Okay, yep. So we're talking, and I've tried to get somebody in here to talk about what's going on with that rebuild there, and we're kind of working on it, but so far, nothing. But so we're going to chat with you about what's happening in Coffee Park, Fountain Grove areas, Parker Hill also.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Yep. So what do you got? What's going on?
So right now, as of this morning, we had 2,248 homes in the rebuild process.
Okay.
So that's either complete, under construction, or in plan review. And bulk of those are actually under construction right now.
Great.
So
what was the total number? I don't remember. Do you
remember? About 3,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a nice big number.
It's gotten to the point where we've, before, as this process went along, we were tracking how many people were entering the system, how many people were under construction, how many people were completed.
Mm-hmm.
We're now almost flipping that conversation to determine who hasn't started the process, who haven't we seen,
mm-hmm.
Who hasn't walked through our permit door to submit a permit.
Okay.
And we're down to 699 home parcels that have not come in the door.
Okay.
So out of 3,000, there's about 700 out there that haven't started. And that's become more of the focus, is to understand why individuals haven't started.
And how can you help?
Right. Are there things that we can do as a city to help? Are there policies? Are there issues that there's something we can advocate on their behalf?
Okay.
We did a little breakdown just to kind of get a sense of what that 700 looked like. And it basically, 28 of them were sold to home builders in the area. So that's, master plan builders are people that are building homes or buying these properties to build homes to sell. 37 of them were sold to investors. I think early on there was a concern that a bunch of investors were going to come in and buy up all the properties.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we see about 37 sold to investor companies.
Okay.
110 are sold to different individuals. So an interesting thing that we've seen is some individuals that had lost their home didn't want to go through the real rebuild process. And so what happened is another property that went down, was burnt, was bought by a home builder. A new home was built there. And that person is buying that home that's already built.
So they're staying in the neighborhood.
Right. So they're staying in the neighborhood, but not having to go through the rebuild process. So there's a lot of different interesting stories out there that people are choosing what path to take to get back to a home. And then 524, bulk of them are still held by the owner of record. So they're individuals that own those properties that haven't decided to move on. So they may, have moved somewhere else and are just holding on to determine what to do, or they're trying to figure out a solution. And so that's what
I know of one couple who were actually looking at putting an offer in on one of my properties. So they're not my clients, but their story is that they're negotiating with the insurance company still.
Wow.
Because And it's a weird, and I don't know if all insurance does, the way they're doing it is that when they buy a home, they're getting the value of the home appraisal that they're buying minus the value of the lot.
Wow.
Because then they're going to pay them out separately for the lot. So they're having a really tough time with that, getting those values to match and trying to figure out if an offer they put in is going to make sense. You know, if, and we don't do an appraisal ahead of time, so that's not until they're in it that that happens. So I don't know if that's happening to other people, but I think there are people that are still kind of trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, and that's
with a lot.
And that's difficult. I mean, especially 2 years in, I think, you know, a lot of people around the state, you know, we've been asked to speak at conferences about the process, because most places in a disaster this big in 2 years in are nowhere close to even half of the properties rebuilt. And we're, you know, Coffee Park right now is 96% of the Coffee Park is in the rebuild process, and 70-something percent of Fountain Grove is in the rebuild process. So a large number of homes, it's very quickly have come back in astounding numbers. And it's to the point where we're, you know, we have over 50,000 inspections, you know, every year. It's the numbers are astronomical. And so, but we're committed to getting people back home, and we're doing everything we can to try to prioritize and get people whatever they need to get in their home as quickly as possible.
Yeah, so, yeah. The streamlining and the reduced cost, I think, for some permits, right? Some
It's reduced cost, but it's primarily some of the big things are that we are guaranteeing a 24-hour turnaround for inspection time, no matter how many inspections we get. So we have to figure out how to manage that, and we're doing the quick plan checks. But really, when it comes down to it, when we allow people occupancy, and we had a situation earlier this week where if people run into issues, what we ask them to do is please call us. We're constantly with over 1,000 people under construction. We're constantly working with individuals to figure out a solution to their individual need. Sometimes the concern just it gets blown up really quickly, and we'd rather just call us and we'll figure it out with them. We'll sit down and come up with a solution, because we're going to err on the side of getting you home, getting you back in your home. But we just want to make sure that we're having that conversation early so we can work with them to get through the process.
Yeah. That's a good point. I think things do. There's a lot of passion and you know, a lot of
understandably,
feelings, a lot of emotion involved. Yeah. And things can quickly blow up. So
it's hard, and it's very emotional, and we know firsthand, because the people that are working on the rebuild on the city side, you know, they live in that community. They've lost homes. Everyone's in the same boat. So we're all part of this together. And so I think just remembering that as we move forward, that we all want the same solution. And we have people standing by that are going to solve the problem and work with people. So give us a call, and we'll help you get there.
That's great. Yeah. Good. And the call, is there a number they can call, or is that a website? Is that the rebuild?
Yeah, srcity.org/rebuild. Okay. And there's contact information on there. And again, you can find me everywhere online.
You can
always call me, and I'll make sure you get to the right
person.
Okay,
and we'll put your phone number also and the websites on the Facebook page and on the KSRO podcast, blog.
And we just posted a little blurb on the rebuild pages that had our chief building official's phone number, the rebuild permit intake phone number, and our development services person's direct phone line. So we put all that out there.
That's nice to have that.
Yeah, we put that on the Facebook page. We put that on the rebuild Facebook page, Firestorm Facebook page. We want to get that out there, because these are, you know, we're individuals here, and we want to make sure that you have our direct contact. So all that's out there. You can link to that if you want.
Okay, so the Firestorm, you mentioned all. We'll put that on, instead of just blasting it out to everybody right now on the radio, I'll put that on the Facebook page, and then Joe will put it on KSRO.com on the show page. I just wrote Firestorm. Firestorm. I think, you said, so we're at 90-something percent?
In Coffee Park, about 96 percent of the homes in
Coffee Park.
Are,
and then Fountain Grove moving a little slower.
It's about 70-something percent. So a lot of activity up there. So
When this first started, we were looking at like 10 years was numbers I was hearing to get back to normal. And it'll be a little while. But the fact that we're at 90%. It's in Coffee Park, and then
It's pretty astounding. And I think a lot of other communities have gone through similar disasters. You know, they usually in year two they're like 5, 10, 15%. So our community bounced back very quickly.
Yeah,
I think that's it's a testament to our people wanting to get back home. And you see these numbers. A lot of people are staying in the community, which I think is amazing and very you know, something we want to support.
Yeah, so. Good. Well, thank you for all your hard work on that. And my daughter lives at the back end of Coffee Park, in the Tuxhorn Homes back mm-hmm. there. The back yeah. that was affected, but they didn't burn. Yeah. So, yeah. And the reason I say that really is they, you know, people say, well, your house didn't burn, but they lived next to a house that burned. You know, I mean, they were in it.
Oh, you are.
And a lot of times people say, well, your house didn't burn down, but their neighborhood burned down, you know. So anyway, I have some mixed emotions about that, but because they were actually excluded from some of, like, the events and some mm-hmm. of the things, saying, well, your house didn't burn. So that's kind of, anyway.
It's hard. No, it's hard. And there's actually standing home groups that are really important because they're in the middle of a construction zone and they're dealing with
it really affected their community.
Yeah,
It's great to see it coming back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now that the house that burned down across the street is back.
Okay.
And actually the same woman moved back in. So that was nice. That's their neighbor. And so we're seeing, and so I drive through there a lot mm-hmm. because, you know, go over there to watch the grandkids or whatever. And it's, you know, every time I drive by, there's new homes up and there's cars in the driveway. And now you're seeing the Christmas, you know, decorations. Mm-hmm. It's really a great feeling to see because it was so depressing the first, you know, 6 months or
very
so,
difficult.
You know, more, the first year, it was really depressing to drive through there.
And I think the thing that's exasperating a lot of the emotion and the stress on people is the fact that additional living expenses, the insurance, ran out for a lot of people mm-hmm. Back in October timeframe. So, so this is it's a really tough time right now. If people are, the insurance did cut them off, that they're having to pay for insurance and trying to get in the rebuild and pay for a temporary home. So we understand that. And again, please, if you're running into barriers or you feel like you're running into struggles getting home, please call us and we'll work with you to try to figure out what we need to do to help you get home.
Yeah, and see what's going on. Okay. Well, that's awesome. Anyway, so it's great. Very nice. And if you are back in a home for Christmas, how exciting. I do have a couple of friends that have moved back in and are celebrating Christmas at home.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's nice to see. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We come back. We've got a couple of new bills going on, and then we're going to touch briefly on the Joe Rodotta Trail mm-hmm. and what's going on with that, because that is a really heated topic. And just to get a little bit of information of what's going on and what can we do. We'll be back. I'm Allison Norman. Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, here with David Kuhn, Assistant City Manager of Santa Rosa. We'll be right back.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Brett Musburger, and this is the North Bay's home of the Oakland Raiders and the Golden State Warriors. FM News Talk Radio, KSRO 103.5 and 94.5.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, new construction to rebuilds, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams Realty fits the bill.
My philosophy is twofold. One, my clients come first. Two, I strive to stay ahead of the curve with technology training and local market news and information. I grew up in Marin County, then moved to Sonoma County and raised my four children. When I started my career in 2006, I was fortunate to be mentored by my late friend, Mike Kelly. I've successfully helped hundreds of families in the entire North Bay with their real estate needs. And with my Keller Williams network across the country, I can help with relocations as well.
And now, Allison continues the tradition and hosts the Mike Kelly Real Estate Hour every Sunday morning from 9 to 10.
Call me at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Brett Musburger. Please join me for play-by-play of every Raiders game on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO, 103.5 and 94.5.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. And Merry almost Christmas to you. And if you're going to be in a home by Christmas, congratulations to you. And how exciting. If you have plans maybe going into 2020 of being in a home in 2020, let's make that happen for you. And over the last month, we've been talking a lot about that, how to get you into a home. And you can always reach out to me directly if you want to talk about that, or maybe you want to make a move, or you're just curious about the value of your home. My phone number is on the KSRO show page, which is, you go to ksro.com/ you go to ksro.com, look for shows, drop down menu takes you to Ask the Expert, and drop down again and you'll find Allison Norman Real Estate. My contact information is there. And also, we're on Facebook Live right now, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on Facebook. And if you have specific questions about what's going, you know, what we've talked about today, you know, go ahead and drop them into that live feed, and we can see if we can get them answered for you. We're going to talk in that we've got about 10 minutes left, and I want to touch on a couple of things. One, you have, we're with, I'm with David Kewen, Assistant City Manager, Santa Rosa. And he, you have some information about the anti-gouging, which came into effect with the fires.
Right, okay, after the fires.
So what's going on with it now?
Yeah, right after the fires, the city put in anti-price gouging ordinance within the city, and that was to protect those that were renting mm-hmm. and making sure that the prices didn't jump up too quickly
right.
and push people out. So that ordinance has been in place ever since the 2017 fires. And recently the state has approved, voted in through mm-hmm. the bills, AB 1482, which is known as the Tenant Protection Act of 2019. Mm-hmm. And it essentially does the same thing, which provides price gouging renter protections for individuals and for homes all over the state of California.
Okay.
And so the question came to the city council last Tuesday night, did the city want to continue our local ordinance, or do we want to let that end and then have the state law pick up where this ends? And so the decision was to let the local ordinance end and stop mm-hmm. and then rely on the state ordinance. And the timing of that is such that they did a first reading last Tuesday. They'll do a second reading this coming Tuesday.
Okay.
And then it goes into effect 30 days after. So we'll be into January before that our local ordinance goes away, which is nice because that overlaps with the state law going into effect January 1st.
Okay.
So if you're interested in understanding what those the state law price gouging rules are, again, it's AB 1482. And essentially what that does is caps increases at I believe 5% or at plus CPI or a total maximum of 10%.
Okay.
And so there's some elements in there that are really key and actually very consistent with what the local ordinance did after the fire.
Okay. So the 1482 is what we've been talking about as the rent control mm-hmm. bill, basically.
Correct.
So, but it's interesting to look at it from a different angle because mm-hmm. there's been some controversy of that as right. a rent control bill.
Right.
But to look at it the way you're talking about it is it's covering that anti-gouging
right.
that went into effect after the fires.
Yeah, and there's another aspect to anti-gouging, which is the penal code, which is the how you fight for it. Is that basically Penal Code Section 396, that stays into effect anytime there's a declared emergency. So currently, whenever there's a declared emergency, Penal Code 396 goes into effect, which allows the ability to go after people that are doing price gouging. So those things are still in place. And so basically what we're going to do is set up a structure that makes sure that there are protections when there's a disaster.
Okay.
Can those be in implemented? And that is the case.
Okay. And there was a question on Facebook I was trying to read, but is the city state of emergency still in effect?
It is. Yeah. The city's local state of emergency is still in effect. It was discussed last meeting to take a look at that. We are going to be renewing that state of emergency on Tuesday night.
Okay.
But we have made it very clear that we're going to be looking at and holding some subcommittee meetings in between the next time we have to renew it to evaluate, do we want to extend it or should we let the state of emergency end based on all the needs? And that a lot goes into that in terms of do we need that emergency for different funding sources, different grants that we mm-hmm. need to go after to try for infrastructure and other recovery efforts that were still underway.
Okay.
Even though the houses are being rebuilt, the
yeah.
fire's out, there's still a long recovery from a standpoint of recouping costs from the federal government and other places.
So right. okay.
we have to make sure that we're protected from that standpoint.
Okay.
But we will be taking a very close look at that based on council direction.
Okay. And when are you looking at that?
So it's going to be extended next Tuesday night, and we'll look at it before the next time, which is 60 days after that. So I'm guessing we'll come back to council in the February timeframe to decide if we want to let that go or not.
Okay, yeah. Good. So we'll talk about that more as you know, we get closer to it, because I think people will have opinions, as we all do. Well, thank you for kind of explaining that. And so before we run out of time, I want to touch real quickly on the elephant in the room, which you can't miss driving down Highway 12, which I just did yesterday, and it's kind of sad to see. The Joe Rodotta Trail and what's happening with that, and the reason I want to really talk on it, a lot of people don't understand why are we allowing these people to stay there, why isn't the city doing something about it? Is this county? Is it city? What's going on? So let's quickly touch on all of that. So explain what Joe Rodotta Trail is county.
It's a county park within the city jurisdiction.
Okay.
So that's some of the confusion of the overlapping of services and jurisdiction.
Right.
So typically, if it's we have this a lot where there's county property within the city jurisdiction, and typically the county has ownership of that. So as you're hearing and you saw on the paper, if you saw on the paper today, there's an article about what the county's proposing to do on that with the Joe Rodotta Trail.
Okay.
Is that the county, the parks, the county parks, Community Development Commission, but also the city are working together to identify a plan for how to address the individuals in that area.
Okay.
And just like we have with the area on Farmers Lane and the area on the underpass and other homeless encampments that we've had in the city, there is a process that we go through, and we do have a housing first model to make sure that we can identify places for individuals to go that can receive services if they're interested in receiving those services, to make sure we have those services available to move them towards getting into a housing first model. So that's a process that have been underway for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it may look like nothing's happening, but a lot of work behind the scenes has been going on between the city and county to make sure this is done right and to make sure that the individuals there are treated respectfully and understanding the condition that they're in, but try to find a place that will work. And so what the county CDC is going to be presenting to the county Board of Supervisors on Tuesday is a list of options that they can look at for working with those individuals with service providers to provide options for them in different ways. So those options will be laid out on Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors meeting, and then from there the plan will be put into place, and we'll work with the county to make sure that gets implemented.
Okay.
But again, we're following that same process within the city limits on other encampments. Martin Luther King Park, we have encampment there that we're working with, and some others. So this is happening around the city and in the county.
Yeah.
And we're all working together to try to do this. We can't do it alone. We need everyone's help, and a little bit of patience, but understanding that we do know they're there, and we are, this is an issue for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be taking steps.
Yeah, and your hands are a little tied because of a lawsuit.
Yeah,
saying that you can't just displace everybody.
Right, there's an injunction in place, and I think we've some of the process has been to first identify a location and beds for individuals to go to, work with service providers to make sure that we're providing accommodations as needed for those individuals out there. And then to make sure that that's done in a way that's fair in terms of notification, making sure personal belongings are identified and tracked. So there's a process to it, but we've been doing it for quite some time in different encampments around the city, and so it's not impossible. It takes a little bit of time, and overall, we still are not losing sight of the big picture about how do we solve this from a standpoint of making sure everyone has a place to live and has a home, and so that's the goal.
Yeah. Good. Okay. And there's porta potties that were put out there. I don't think the city put that was a group.
Yeah, a group got a permit through the county park system to be able to put those out there. Again, it's county park land, so that they have jurisdiction over what can go on those on that property.
Yeah. So that was done by a nonprofit group that's been out there helping. Yeah. And there's a Facebook page, and I can't think of it, but there's a lot of good information from, you know, the side of the humanitarian side of it is, people out there and bringing supplies and helping people to get that. But it's good that the city and county and everybody's working together. And it is a big eyesore, but it is what it is, you know. So
And Tuesday, so the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah. Board of Supervisors on Tuesday is going to talk about it. So we're going to have to run. I'm Allison Norman. I'm here with David Guen, City of Santa Rosa Assistant City Manager, talking all about City of Santa Rosa. Thank you so much for joining me again.
And
we almost ran out of time, but visit the Facebook page and KSRO.com for more information and website links. And we'll be back next week. I'm Allison Norman. Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Happy holidays.
The preceding was a paid presentation. News, traffic, weather, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa. Sunday Church.